Mark Rydell, Book 4, Chapter 28, The Ecclesiastical History of England by the Venerable Bede. After this, Cuthbert, as he grew in goodness and intensity of devotion, attained also to a hermit's life of contemplation in silence and solitude, as we have mentioned. But forasmuch as many years ago we wrote enough concerning his life and virtues, both in heroic verse and prose, it may suffice at present only to mention this, that when he was about to go to the island, he declared to the brothers, "If by the grace of God it shall be granted to me that I may live in that place by the labor of my hands, I will willingly abide there, but if not, God willing, I will very soon return to you." The place was quite destitute of water, corn, and trees, and being infested by evil spirits, was very ill-suited for human habitation, but it became in all respects habitable at the desire of the man of God, for at his coming the wicked spirits departed. When, after expelling the enemy, he had, with the help of the brethren, built himself a narrow dwelling, with a mound about it, and the necessary cells in it, to wit, an oratory and a common living room, he ordered the brothers to dig a pit in the floor of the room, although the ground was hard and stony, and no hopes appeared of any spring. When they had done this, relying upon the faith and prayers of the servant of God, the next day it was found to be full of water, and to this day affords abundance of its heavenly bounty to all that resort hither. He also desired that instruments for husbandry might be brought him, and some wheat. But having prepared the ground and sown the wheat at the proper season, no sign of a blade, not to speak of ears, had sprouted from it by the summer. Hereupon, when the brethren visited him according to custom, he ordered barley to be brought, if haply it were either the nature of the soil or the will of God, the giver of all things, that such grain rather should grow there. He sowed it in the same field when it was brought him, after the proper time of sowing, and therefore with any likelihood of its bearing fruit. But a plentiful crop immediately sprang up, and afforded the man of God the means which he had desired of supporting himself by his own labor. When he had served God in solitude many years, the mound which encompassed his dwelling, being so high that he could see nothing from it but heaven, which he thirsted to enter, it happened that a great synod was assembled in the presence of King Egfrid, near the river Alne, at a place called Atufridi, which signifies at the two fords, in which Archbishop Theodore, of blessed memory, presided, and there Cuthbert was, with one mind and consent of all, chosen bishop of the church of Lindisfarne. They could not, however, draw him from his hermitage, though many messengers and letters were sent to him. At last the aforesaid king himself, with the most holy bishop and other religious and powerful men, sailed to the island, many also of the brothers from the isle of Lindisfarne itself, assembled together for the same purpose. They all knelt and conjured him by the Lord, with tears and entreaties, till they drew him also in tears from his beloved retreat, and forced him to go to the synod. When he arrived there, he was very reluctantly overcome by the unanimous resolution of all present, and compelled to take up himself the duties of the episcopate, being chiefly prevailed upon by the words of Boisil, the servant of God, who, when he had prophetically foretold all things that were to befall him, had also predicted that he should be a bishop. Nevertheless, the consecration was not appointed immediately, but when the winter, which was then at hand, was over, it was carried out at Easter in the city of York, and in the presence of the aforesaid King Egfrid, seven bishops coming together for his consecration, among whom Theodore, of blessed memory, was primate. He was first elected bishop of the church of Hugustald, in the place of Tunbert, who had been deposed from the episcopate. But because he chose rather to be placed over the church of Lindisfarne, in which he had lived, it was thought fit that Eata should return to the see of the church of Hugustald, to which he had been first ordained, and that Cuthbert should take upon him the government of the church of Lindisfarne. Following the example of the blessed apostles, He adorned the episcopal dignity by his virtuous deeds, for he both protected the people committed to his charge by constant prayer and roused them by wholesome admonitions to thoughts of heaven. He first showed in his own life what he taught others to do, a practice which greatly strengthens all teaching, for he was above all things inflamed with the fire of divine charity, of sober mind and patient, most diligently intent on devout prayers, and kindly to all that came to him for comfort. He thought it stood in the stead of prayer to afford the weak brethren the help of his exhortation, knowing that he who said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," said likewise, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor." He was noted for penitential abstinence, and was always through the grace of compunction intent upon heavenly things. And when he offered up to God the sacrifice of the saving victim, he commended his prayer to the Lord, not with uplifted voice, but with tears drawn from the bottom of his heart. The end of chapter 28 of the Ecclesiastical History of England by the Venerable Bede.